listening to WCNO, Palm City.
I think finally he wants us to know that the enemy is going to come after us, that our culture is going to come after us, that even our own human nature will often be contrary to what God wants us to say and do. And these are spiritual battles, but he's there to assist us. And like any good coach that says, go up and take your swings, he wants us to hit the ball out of the park. He doesn't want us to strike out. But I got to tell you, Red, as a young fourth grade baseball player, I went through the whole season and I never got a hit. Foul balls, but no hits that whole season. Oh. But guess what? That taking those swings, I learned. And the next year when I was in the fifth grade and we were living on an Air Force base in Turkey, I became one of the best leading hitters in our league. But I learned it through all the missed swings of the year before. So I think
Babe Ruth had more home runs than anybody else, but he had more strikeouts than anybody else too.
Yeah, right. So I think God wants us to learn through our mistakes, and but he wants us to have victories. Now, the next thing that Jesus says is verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so they will be noticed by men when they're fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full.
Oh, but, by the way, hold on just a second. He doesn't say if you fast. What does he say? When?
Right. The next line, verse 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you, what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, fasting is beneficial for taking our minds off of our earthly needs and placing our focus on God and receiving our needs from Him. And as you point out, the key word is not if you fast, but when you fast, okay? So I've been meditating on this, and there's situations that have come up in my life, and I've asked the Lord for solutions to that. And guess what happened? After me actually teaching on this verse in a church in Hawaii last month, he said, not if, but when you fast, okay? So I've had to take this one for personal application. Now he goes on. He's going to now give us our attitude toward material possessions. You want to read verse 19, 20, and 21, please?
Okay, 19, 20, and 21. Lay up treasures. We have only about 3.5 minutes left. Lay up treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth destroy, for where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Okay, so what do we think about in our idle time? We're sitting in traffic, we're waiting in office, we're on the beach. What do we think about our job, our wealth, our last vacation, the next vacation, our lover, our disappointments? Because where our thoughts originate is from right here. And that indicates what our source of satisfaction is. And Jesus goes on to say, the eye of the lamp of the body, the eye is the lamp of the body. So when your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So this word clear, if your eye is clear, is the word haplos. It's translated, using the eye is not seen double when it's diseased. This is when the eye is seeing perfectly. It's seeing single, healthy, perfectly. This is haplos. The word bad is poneros. It's of things of an evil eye referring to evil thoughts. So whatever your filter is on viewing the events of life, you're going to come to certain conclusions. So if you're not seeing double, you're seeing as things are, you're going to come out with a better conclusion than if you're thinking things of evil as you view the events in front of you. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. He either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, all right? So I think what we have to realize is wealth is a good thing, that it comes from God, but sometimes the pursuit of wealth is what controls us, and it literally enslaves us. And
yes,
as Paul writes to his Timothy, True godliness is contentment with itself is great wealth, okay? But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
And not money, but love of money.
The love of money. So some people craving money have wandered from the true faith.
And pierced themselves with many sorrows.
Right. So the principle, I think, here is getting our focus off of God and onto our personal material possessions produces pride and fear, and also anxiety. But what the Bible teaches us is God is the one who will give us enough for our families, and that true wealth really comes from the Lord. Proverbs 22 says, reward of humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Okay?
All right, listen. We're about out of time.
We're almost finished with this section. Can we
go on? We have like 1 minute left.
So I think God gives wealth to those who can handle it, and he says in Timothy to instruct them to do good, that's the rich, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. So I think the principle here is we are to be good stewards of what God has given us and be ready to share. Now, what we'll do is we'll pick up in verse 25 in our next session how we are to avoid anxiety.
Yeah, I think of people today, everybody's out there on the internet and everybody wants to be the next billionaire. What happened to the honor of a man owning a little ice cream shop and being able to feed his family and have a nice family and live a modest life and go home at 5 o'clock and love his family? You know, the deceitfulness of riches, watch out, because it can really, it robs people of their lives. Anyway, listen, I want to thank you very much, Mike Bagby, biblical historian, for being with us today. If you want to support us, go to www.cupoffriendship.com. Order one of our three coffees. They are
Kindred Spirit and a Hearty Handshake.
Go to cupoffriendship.com. We'd appreciate your support. Thank you, Mike Bagby.
Thank you. All right. Nice conversation. Enjoy the coolness of the mountains of Vermont today.
It's a dry day in Jerusalem. The hot sun, it bakes. All the people on the pathway. As they stand and wait with palm leaves in hand. Who is this man? Riding a donkey. It is one who heals pain. They say he's Messiah. And one day he'll reign, fulfilling God's plan. Who is this man? They say his authority is like none they have heard. From his mouth issues wisdom. With his every word, I must know if I can. Who is this man? As he draws near, all the children are singing. Suddenly I've no fear when he touches my hand. I know this man.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. This is Cynthia West with For Such a Time as This. I saw a depiction of the end of the Second World War. It said, if you hate America, the airport is open. We don't burn the flag, we fold it over the caskets of the men who gave you the right to complain. Amen. Those words made me say, oh my God. So I encourage